when he's ready, and then we'll start. No hurry.
Okay. Is it on? Okay, this morning will be in chapter 9, and I'll read it to start with. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in, the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns of like gold, and their faces were as the face of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, teeth as were the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails likened to scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and for a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them which sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for the tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of humanity, or men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." That sounds woo, you know. Well, I mean, that's what the church world teaches. But this is not what it's about. Can anyone tell me what this whole chapter is about? Just an overview of it. Just a short thing. Is it positive? Is it negative? What is it? You know.
Yes.
No. I'm saying this is what most people think. I want to see what you think.
Oh, what most people think?
Yeah. What do you think about it?
It's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not. But this is a good thing. He's just telling you what it's about. What's going to happen. But you don't understand it because we understand by what the religious system, and that's what this is talking about, part of it, is the religious system has put the smoke out on us. So we can't see clearly. How clearly do you see in smoky room or in real thick smoke? You can't see real clear.
Kind of like smudge on your glasses, right, Lord?
Same thing.
Gags, yeah.
Okay. Let's start back the first verse and let's work this out. And the fifth angel, okay, What is the five for, the fifth or five? What's it represent?
Senses.
Well, no, it represents life, grace, or death. It could be the grace of life or death. And this fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star. Now, when it sounded, actually, it's the word of God, okay? It's the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet is what the language says. And he says, I saw a star. Okay, this is John writing. He says, I see a star. Who was the star that fell from heaven?
Christ.
It was the Christ. Fall from the realm of the Spirit into, not unto, but into. He fell into humanity. When he came in the Spirit realm, where did he go?
Into us.
Into Adam to start with, and then into all humanity. And to him was given the key, okay? And a key speaks of power and authority, okay? To the bottomless pit. Now, what is the bottomless pit?
Our ego.
Huh?
Our ego.
It's our mind. It's our natural thinking process, which is part of the ego. But see, this angel has power over it. And he's not an angel, but he's a messenger. Now, here's something I want you to try to catch a hold of if you can. The messenger is the message. Christ didn't come speaking great spiels of words to change anything. He showed you by his example the very things he spoke of. True?
Yeah.
See, so the messenger is the message. And that's what we are supposed to be. We're the messengers who are the message. And by our lifestyle, we should be messaging to the rest of humanity what God is. See, we're the representative today. And it's our responsibility to be that representative to the rest of the world. Okay? Okay, but he has the key to the bottomless pit. And the only one that has control over this thing is Christ. Yeah. And Christ is the Spirit of God, so same thing. And it says, and he opened the bottomless pit. He opened it up. He had the authority to do that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And there arose smoke. Okay? And what does that smoke represent? What do you think it really represents?
That'd be like ignorance and darkness.
Well, I've thought that in the past, but I see it as religion.
Like a covering.
That's a cloak.
It's a cloak. It covers things, see, and that's what religion does. It covers up the truth with smokiness and mirrors. You know, it's all those gimmicks that they have and what they say it is, but it's not the truth, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this smoke is a religious thing that they're covering up.
Smoke's man-made.
It's man-made.
Smoke screen.
Yeah. And smoke screens are usually used to hide something, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the church honestly really wants the truth out there?
No.
At least no. Okay? And that smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace. What was the great furnace called? The furnace of what?
Affliction.
You think anybody wants that thing? Do you think Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, do you think they were?
No.
They wanted this furnace of affliction? Nobody asks for it, but when it comes, you realize it's for whose benefit?
Well, you know, if you think of a furnace when it's burning really, really hot, it don't have much smoke.
No, it don't.
It's when you just started or when you
just
think
it
it's going out.
Yep, that's all. Just to cover. That's all it is. But this great furnace is for our benefit. Everybody sees it bad. But it didn't say it was from a great furnace as the smoke of a great furnace. As. Kind of like, maybe.
Illusion.
Another cover, another illusion, you know. And the sun and the moon, and the air, rather. I said sun and moon. Sun and air. Okay. And what is the sun speak of?
Light.
Okay, there you go. Light. Okay. He said, I am the light that came from above, right?
Every man.
That lights every man in the earth.
Okay.
In their own time. And the air. This air is speaking about an area where we live, in the lower realms of the air. The upper air we can't live in. There's not enough oxygen in it. But here is the mixture that we can live in. Word darkened. Hey, what does darkening represent? The word literally is obscured, but it speaks of our understanding being darkened. Because everything in this entire book, not just this chapter, but this entire book is speaking about something internal within each individual. And we have to understand it. It's something going on inside of us.
And then I see, if that little bit's been exposed to you, mm-hmm. then if you have that desire to search it out, that illusion's covering your mind, and you're like, wait a minute, not real.
Yeah, but see, most people won't challenge what the system tells them. And if you challenge, you're going to see the truth yourself. He said, if you seek, what will happen?
You'll find it,
see? God didn't go lie to you, is he? You just got to seek it. If you really want the truth, all you have to do is seek it and you will find it. That's simple. See? It's so simple that even a child could understand that, but yet most people don't do it.
But you know what? A child's going to have their mind completely...
I understand, but he said he was just making... That was just something as a metaphor that if a child could understand it, you know, an adult should have no problem. But yet, you know what? A child can probably understand better because they haven't got all these things in their mind that's
been programmed
by the system for so many years. It's harder for an adult than it is for a child to come up and hear the truth. And it says they were darkened, obscured, by reason of or from, by the words by reason there is the Greek word ek, from. They were darkened from the smoke of the pit. Now, the smoke of the pit, that religious thing inside, everybody has this desire to worship something. I mean, it's in all humanity. I don't care what culture you're in. They all worship something, whether it's a cow walking around when they're starving to death and they won't touch the cow, or you know, fish or whatever it is, or anything,
self,
material possessions, anything you can think of, people will worship something. Yeah. And you define worship by where all your time, your talents, and your treasures are invested in. Are they in here or there or what? Is it in God, or is it in seeking what's right for you in your life, or is it just passing through, you know? And going along with the flow of the system out there. Whatever you want to do, it's okay. It's nothing to anybody but you. You're the one that determines what you're going to get out of life. And verse 3 says, and there came out of the smoke, now that religious system, okay, locusts upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpion of the earth has power. But it says their smoke came upon them, you know, and there came out of the smoke, rather, locusts. I want to take you to a verse in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Read it to you. I know that. I know that song. Yeah, them pages stick together.
Yeah, this one's a newer Bible. There we go.
And he said, and God, that's Yahweh, saw that the wickedness of not man, but of Adam, was great in the earth. Now, as long as he's in the earth, what's the problem? It's in the earth. He's in the earth realm. That every imagination, and It says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, what is it really saying? Remember the cherubim of Genesis?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. Imagination.
Genesis 3:24. It's the the cherubim that keep us from getting back into that garden.
And you create
false images. Right?
It's false images that we create. And it says of the thoughts of his mind was always only or limited to evil all day long. What you'd say, all day long. So when he's saying here, it was in verse 3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The locust came out. The word locust there speaks about lighting on top of something. Okay? To light on top of a tree to strip it. Now, a locust lands on the top of the tree to start, and they eat their way down. They start at the top. That's the new growth. It stunts all your growth of the tree because that's where the tree grows, isn't it? Right from the top. And so when these locusts, which are no more than thoughts out of our bottomless pit, and they come out of the smoke of that bottomless pit, what are they going to do to our mind?
Torment us.
But in torment, how much can you think with reason?
You can't.
So he's telling you, these locusts are these thoughts coming out of our mind, out of the heart of man from the earth realm. Guess what? They're desperate. The heart of man's desperate, wicked, and evil above all things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the mind of humanity. So he's saying our own minds is what's getting us caught up in this thing. Okay, that's what he's telling us. And as the they said, the scorpions, these locusts have the power as a scorpion over the of the earth have power, and they have power to sting you, to torment you, and even to kill you. Right? Do you think he's talking about literally killing you physically?
No. Going to destroy your mind.
Destroying your spirituality. He's going to wrap you up, these locusts that start from the top and cloud everything that come out of this smoke. They're going to get you to think about all these natural things so that you can't reach your spirituality. Everything, anything that distracts you away from your own situations, things around you, what everybody else thinks versus what you hear in yourself. Okay. Who's doing the speaking to you?
So they would retard or even stop your spiritual maturity.
Absolutely. See, that's a religious thing. If they can, if, as long as you're growing spiritually, the church system don't want you. Because you're going to overtake them because they're not growing, are they?
No.
See? So they don't want that competition in there. So they don't want you. So what this religion does, it retards them. As long as they keep them retarded, I used to say it another way, that they want to keep you on the nipple. You know, they want to keep you on the bottle, drinking the milk and not the meat. Like Paul talked about in Hebrews. Right? He said we should be, after a year, we should be eating meat, not be calling the milk yet.
If you think of the young child, like you said, that's still on the milk, they haven't found their identity yet.
No.
Because they're still depending on the mother.
And as long as if mama's not giving them the right thing, baby's not going to form right, is it? Okay? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. It says all green grass is flesh. Okay, so he's talking about the flesh.
Right.
Of the earth, neither any green thing. Green speaks of living and life also, doesn't it? Neither any tree. What's a tree think of? What's a tree speak of?
Life and humanity.
It's anything humanity. Okay? But only those men, and right there he goes and tells you, only those what? It literally says man-faced or humanity or not the mind of Christ. Okay? Which have not the seal or the spirit of God in their what?
Mind.
In their foreheads. What are we talking about here?
Their mind.
The mind of Christ. If they don't have the mind of Christ, guess who's going to get tormented?
Those that don't.
Those that don't.
Antichrist.
They are. If it's not Christ, it's Antichrist. And in those days, humanity will seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee them. Now, what do you think that's all about? Don't you think today there's millions of people on this earth that say to themselves they'd rather die than continue to live in? Mm-hmm. In such a way, because they don't know who they are. They don't know their God. they know about a God of some kind, if it's doing them no good, is it? Look at the people every day that's in such torment about the situations of the earth, the situations of our lives, and all they are is in absolute torment. And they're going to church every day. Today, they're probably stacked up in the churches by the millions around the earth, and they're in torment, but they're saying, oh yeah, God's going to take care of me. Well, you know what? The God in that person should be taken care of, but it's not, is it? Because are they given any place to the God in them? They're only given place to their God, which is on their throne, on their mind. And it says his mind is not our mind, is it? His ways are above our ways.
Yeah.
They're doing what they want to do, no matter what. And they're not thinking about God in any way or what God wants. And like I've said for years, it's not your way, it's Yahweh. Okay. We don't get to choose what we do. We can agree with God and move on this thing and everything's just fine. Does it mean there will never be any struggles? Heavens no, there will be plenty of them. But I know that God's behind what's coming to my life. There's a reason before everything that happened to me. If it's negative, it's the result of something I did that was wrong. If it's a negative that brings forth positive, it's because God sent it in my life to change me. If we think that way, what does it do to our lives?
Makes it easier.
Well, sure. I'm not in control. I'm not in a struggle with it. Because I'm not running. I'm not driving. I'm going to sit in the back of the bus and let him take care of whatever he wants. Because I'm just along for the ride. Whatever God wants.
Pilot, not co-pilot. Right?
That's right. He's the pilot. I'm just sitting there.
There's a purpose behind whatever you're going through.
What's Ecclesiastes 3 say? There's a time and a season and
everything.
A purpose for everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
See, does it say some things? No, it's everything.
You can do like I did earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Look back and I kind of went over the parade of my life in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how, and remembering how I was, it looked at the time. Mm-hmm. When I was going through it. And man, it looked like doom and gloom. And I just kept going. God's in it all the way.
And
you come through again and again and again, that's encouragement to you.
Yeah, sure it is.
That this is just another one.
I heard somebody say, if you find yourself in hell, keep walking, you'll get out.
Yeah. Just another
just
one,
going.
A different taste, but
yeah.
It's the same.
But you must experience those things and realize you're not being punished. It's not a punishment coming at you. It's part of life. Life can be hard at times. We know that. As adults, we've had enough of it. But, you know, our younger kids, they haven't got there yet, necessarily. They might, some of them, be started, but not like they will as life goes on. But if they know that God's in control of everything coming at them, then, and the book says, I'm in control of nothing. He's in control of all things.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? I just continue on whatever I got to do the best I can.
And you can see in going over things that's happened in and to you, what, for you, really.
Right.
Kicking, screaming, any of that doesn't even change it the tiniest bit, except
yeah.
Makes it longer.
Makes it worse.
I'm seeing something, and maybe I'm hearing
Go ahead.
Something here, because it still sounds like, and I've went down this road before, it still sounds like... God gave us the power. It'd be just like him saying, here, Lois, here's this ink pen. I'm done. I'm already done. I'm stepping back from this. This is yours. This is yours.
Yep.
You can either write a bad check with it. You can write a good check with it. You can draw pictures with it. You can do anything you want to because it's yours.
That's right. He gave us that power.
He's not going to come back and say, oh, let me have that. Let me have that. Just a minute. Let me have that.
The gifts and calling are irrevocable.
That's
without
right.
Repentance. He gave you the power. Are you going to use it right?
So the thing of it is all the time, this thing we're carrying this pen around with can kind of lose a little bit of, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. Let me lay that down for a minute. I don't think I need that.
Pretty heavy. I can do it myself now.
I think I can do this. Let me write that check. And I start writing the check. And I'm like, oh, hell, what the heck just happened? Wait a minute.
I wrote a check, I can't cash.
There it is. We fall into a false identity of not being the chosen or the son, however word you want to say it. But he gave us this to walk it out. He didn't just say, pick it up when you want to.
Not just a badge to wear around and say, look what I got.
Yeah.
It's a way to live your life.
Don't just pick that up when you want to. Lay it over there on the desk and you go back and get it.
Mm-mm. And see, here, just what you said kicks something in me about the chosen. Everybody thinks the chosen are the preachers and you're the special people. But he chose people to do all kinds of things.
We're all special.
See, we're all called to do a specialized thing. Not all called to do what I do. You're called to do what you do and you're called to do what you do. Every one of us has got a call of some sort. Don't know what it is, and it's not important.
I'm not driving the church bus.
No.
Not cleaning the commodes.
Well,
I'm not
when he said
the pews.
When he said, you do anyway.
I was going to say you did.
Well, I'm talking that people think that that's a great thing.
That's working your way in. That's not what it's about. Paul dealt with that in Romans. But anyway, he said, now you got me off the track.
We'll get back
to it. I don't know.
We were talking about the chosen.
Oh, okay, I know where we're at now. He said that if you give someone a drink in the name of a prophet, you'll have a prophet's reward. Okay. You don't have to be a prophet, but you have to do it with the same name or the same nature and character as a prophet. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a prophet to have a prophet's reward. Okay? He's trying to tell you, if you live the way God wants you to live as an individual, guess what?
There's no limitations.
There's no limitations, but God will reward you in what you should have even greater than you'd ever think you'd have. See, everybody thinks that the preacher is the chosen one and the rest of them are just flunkies. That's not true. But, I mean, that's the mentality of the church world.
And they perpetuate that.
Sure they do, because they like being the big dog, see?
That's where they get that. All preacher will pray for me.
Yeah, get the preacher to pray for me. Yeah.
It's a, Quasimodo. You know, he carried the big lump on his back all the time. You know, and
he could have stood up any time.
Yeah, and that's what I said. This thing he gave us, this identity he gave us, is part of him. So you know, people keep thinking like it's still out there. I can pick it up when I want to. I can do this. I can do that. That still works. We can do fleshly works and still fall into that works and start saying, wait a minute, I don't want to do that part and speak to ourselves. I mean, if we keep fanning the smoke.
That's what you're going to have, more smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or petting the scorpions and keeping the locusts in a box.
Yeah.
More religious works that.
That's all it is.
Cloud the.
It just clouds you. It stops your spiritual maturity. You know, it eats at the very heart of the core of what you're trying to do.
All you can see is that works and stuff, that self righteousness appears or whatever. You get all confused instead of seeing through that and seeing the truth of God.
Yeah, your vision's totally blurred.
They don't do it.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
In verse 5, it goes on and says, and to them who? Scorpions.
Okay.
If you read it on, it'll tell you that.
It was given them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was like as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Okay? Or my man faced. So if I have the identity of a natural man, the scorpion has authority over me.
Mm-hmm.
He can torment the hell out of me and there's nothing I can do about it. True?
Mm-hmm.
But if I have the mind of Christ, what effect does that have on me?
What scorpion?
See? What scorpion can bother me? Because I don't have those thoughts.
Or
you
like
see what I mean?
Paul, when he was bit by that snake. And
shook it off.
Yeah, didn't even kill him.
No, because he knew who he was. He knew what God said. God had told him, you shall stand before great men and prophesy and do things before men, speak the words of God. Well, he hadn't done it yet. So then what's he got to do? Huh, God said, that's the end of it. We just wait on God. And most people can't do that. They need that instant gratification. It says, verse 6, and in those days, humanity, the man-faced person, will seek death and does not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And remember, this whole thing, it's about the messengers, okay? And it goes all the way back from the very beginning. And the fifth messenger sounded, and there was other messengers brought into the scene, and they, guess what? All these messengers are the message. So all we got to do is look at it, whether it's positive or negative, and know which messenger we're talking about, don't we? We know what the message is. It takes both positive and negative to produce the life and of what God wants. But we got to know the reasoning behind it. And the shapes or forms of the locusts, the mind destroyers, were likened to or similar to horses. What does a horse represent?
Power.
Human mind. It's a beast nature, very powerful, okay? Prepared unto battle, and on their heads, as it were, didn't say there were crowns of gold, or where they weren't gold, but it said they were like gold, okay?
Falsities.
Where'd that go? Something there. Okay.
So it's like false godliness.
Yeah. They were similar to gold, okay? And their faces were as the faces of men or humanity. So what's the face represent?
Your identity.
Absolutely. So if my identity is as man, I'm in trouble, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I see myself as just a human being, I'm not just a human being. I have a human being, but I have a spirit in me that is who I am. This is just what I'm using right now. This body. Mm-hmm. And it said, and they had hair. What is hair?
Still something about your identity.
So like no. Covering?
It's a covering. It says in Corinthians, your hair is given as a covering.
Well, what about the one when the men had the hair on their face, though? The beards.
It's still a covering. Covered their true identity.
Well,
I mean, it was a natural thing.
Yeah, though. Like yeah. When they cut it, they
lost their identity.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
And but they had hair as the hair of women, so they had long hair.
Lots of it.
A lot of. And we'll talk about long hair, and their teeth. And the what's the teeth speak of?
Something that devours or. Something that tears or
it's destructive,
kills.
Can chomp, tear, and crush. As it, you know, are as the teeth of lions. What's a lion? A lion's jaws can crush bones and just chew them up and eat them. You know, so this is something that's very powerful. Do you think we can overcome that?
Sure,
we can.
Well, only when we are lying, not in the flesh, but only in the spirit realm.
Spirit.
And if you go back to Deuteronomy 7, verse 1.
The
ites are in the land. Okay?
Illusions.
And when the Lord thy God shall bring you into a land whither thou goest to visit, possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, who cast them out?
God
did. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Pezerites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. We can't do it on our own. We'll never overcome that natural thinking process by our own intellect. It's got to be something in God's words that opened up our minds. And didn't it say here that he arose, he opened the bottomless pit in verse 2? That's his thing. He opened it up. So now we have access to it through the blood that was sacrificed for us.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it. But see, we never thought we could, and most people today still don't think they can. God didn't give us the power to run around touching everybody on the head and healing everybody. That wasn't the point. Negative things in our life is what changes us. They have more power for us than the things that are positive. You know, somebody does something good to you. It doesn't change you. But when you fight through one of these negative things, you learn things about yourself that you could never find any other way. Like David said, Lord, deliver me from my presumptuous sins. See, the things that are hidden deep in our heart, we don't even know about them until somebody kicks us in the shin and we find out, ooh, that wasn't pretty.
You carry them around in the pockets of your suit.
Sure, we carry in this suit.
Right. Just.
Well, everybody does it.
Yeah,
they're just
right.
not aware of it. See,
you have the power to not dig down in the pocket. Don't do it.
John 8:31-32. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word to be my disciples indeed, or disciplined ones, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will
save you free."
Okay, or make you free. But it's not. That's not true. There's a word omitted there that should be there.
Truth that you know.
The truth that you know. And until we know it, it won't do us any good. We can quote these words, but if we don't understand, what good is it? It won't change
us. You don't
us.
Have a key.
That's the key right there. That is
blah,
the key.
Blah, 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 blah.
And that's what it is. We don't understand what's being said to us.
It's the light shining on that, the understanding of that. God,
it's all right there.
God has to bring it and make that bell go off, and then you understand it. Then you have the key to access it.
Absolutely. And it said in verse 9, and they had breastplates. And what is a breastplate for?
Protection.
Defense or protection. As it were, the breastplates of iron. What's iron speak of?
It's
hard-headed, stiff-necked, you know, stubborn-willed, and they and the sound of their wings, it's like a sound of war, you know, talking about warfare, was as the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. Okay, so if we're always fighting a battle, if we're always on the offensive. Or defensive, protecting something, always trying to protect it. Do you think we're really thinking about the truth we need to think about?
No, because you're always, your mind's always...
It's always keyed up thinking about something else, and our mind's not fixed upon God.
Keeping you in balance, off balance.
Didn't he say the battle is...
The Lord's.
I don't have to fight. No.
It's already been won.
It's already been won. It's over. For me, it has. See, and that's what everyone has to do in their own lives. Come to the point where... It's not my battle. He'll take care of it. If he wants it. It says his plans and purposes will prevail. If that's the truth, then is there anything that could change it? No. You have nothing to worry about. You don't have anything to worry about. Do the best you can. Let it go. Verse 10, it said, they had tails likened to scorpions.
Likened.
Yeah. What is a tail? False prophets.
Something. Oh, yeah.
It's false prophets.
In the natural, doesn't it give you, it's kind of like a rudder.
Some things are, yeah. But you know, there's things that have tails that's not like rudders. But I'm saying, in Scripture, the tails, you go back to Isaiah 9:15, tells you the ancient and honorable is the head, and the prophet that teaches and tells lies is the tail. Comes specific on that.
They're the ass end.
There you go. The wild ass end. That they had tails similar to scorpions, right?
Yep.
That's the ones that light on top and destroy, right? So they had these false prophets come for one reason. What is it? To destroy this right here. The top of the tree. We're trees. Top of the tree is what they're after. They're not after your feet. They're after your head, where you think. And there were stings in their tails. What's a sting represent? What's it speaking of, sting?
Poison.
Poison, absolutely. So there's poison in their tails. And when we say poison, it's not literal again, is it? It's spiritual. And it's poisoning the tops of the trees. It's killing the tops of the trees, isn't it?
Deception.
And their power was to hurt humanity for 5 months. Or to death. Until the humanity dies.
Is that for all the five senses? 5 months? Because it spoke of 5 months again.
It can be.
Five.
It can be. If that's the way you see it, it can be that way. I'm just saying until the humanity dies, until death. It's what he's telling me.
It's a time frame. Yeah.
Well, it's a time frame. Until I die to myself. Didn't Paul say we needed to die to ourselves?
So it's till we die to our
self.
And all those five senses that reflect is controlled our
they're controlled the way we think until we're dead to that. See, a dead man isn't controlled by any of the senses, is he?
No.
And that's what he's trying to tell us. Until we come to realize that this world can no longer affect me, it's going to affect you. Okay? So as soon as you come to the understanding and realization that it doesn't have any power over you, it only has the power that you give it.
Yep.
If you cultivate it, take care of it, it'll deceive you and burn you and torment you. But whenever you let it die, guess what? It has no more effect on you. It's done. And it said, they had a king over them, which is the messenger. And remember, the messenger is the message of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Now, do you know what those two words mean?
One's destroyer and one's destruction.
Yeah, the first one, the Hebrew Abaddon, is the destroyer. Destruction. And the second one, Apollyon, is the destroyer. And guess what that's really speaking of? Destroyer of you. This is destroyer of self. Those things will destroy you spiritually if you don't identify them in your life and deal with them. And by dealing with them, I'm just saying, give up. Give it to God. Let Him take care of it. Don't focus your life on it. When you focus on it, that's the thing you're worshiping. If all I did was focus on this bottle of water sitting in front of me, before long, that would be the most important thing in my life, because that's all I'm thinking about, that water. I got to have some more water. Is there even water to back this up? Because I got to have water, you know. You got whatever it is. It can be an idol. Okay, verse 12, it says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. And he ended up in chapter 8, there was three woes. Now we got one woe. He told you about this one woe. He explained it to you. He breaks it down for you and tells you these things are going to do it to you if you don't get away from them. If you don't get away from this worldly understanding of everything that God's trying to tell you, you're on your own. If you want to go out in the world and wallow, go ahead and go out there and wallow with them. Yeah. See, don't do it. Okay. And it says, and the sixth angel sounded. Six speaks of what?
Man.
Sixth messenger sounded. And when he sounded, literally, what does it say? What's the word?
Trumpet.
I missed my place. There. That's all wrong. Okay.
13.
My eyes are crossing right now. Okay. When the angel sounded, it says, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, the complete authority. I heard it from the there's you hearing God. Okay? Four speaking complete authority. The horns speak of power and authority. Of the golden altar, which is before God. The golden altar. What do you think that is?
Mind of Christ.
That's God's sacrifice. That's the place He was sacrificed on. Originally was on the altar, you know, before God. But then, before He ever came to the earth. Then when it said He was the Lamb slain before the conception of the world. And which is before God, or in the presence of God. Okay? Before the presence of God. What would the presence of God really be?
You realizing who you are.
How about the mind of Christ? Isn't that the presence of God? Didn't Jesus say, I and the Father are what?
One.
Wow. Well, if we have the mind of Christ, guess who we got? The mind of Father. Correct? Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the presence of God, guess what it is? It's the mind of God. Or the mind of Christ, same thing. So this golden altar, that place of sacrifice that everybody wants to talk about, God's sacrifice, which was Christ, is in the mind of Christ. That's what it's all about. How many times in this book does it say, put on the mind of Christ?
Yeah.
Talks all the time about it, doesn't it? Okay, verse 14. Saying to the sixth messenger, or the man messenger, which had the trumpet, the words of God, loose the four messengers which are bound in the great river Euphrates. What does that Euphrates mean?
That was...
It's fruitful. Fruitful.
Bountiful.
Fruitful. Yeah. So he said, release them from the place of fruitfulness. Yeah. Let them out. Don't bind them up. Let them out. That river speaks of a bounty or a fruitfulness. And the four angels were loosed, which were what?
Prepared.
All. People want to be the messenger. You can't be a messenger until you become the message. That's prepared. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be a messenger if you're not prepared. You've got to be that message. That's why I said earlier, I wrote it down on the corner of my page here and collared it in. The messenger is the message. It's so important that people today, they just want to do something, so they go do it. But they don't have any knowledge of what they're supposed to be doing. They're just doing what they saw somebody else do. And it's not necessarily the truth. And that's how old wives' tales and religion is perpetrated on people. By you hear it enough, they'll believe it. Just like politics today. If people say those negative things enough about a certain individual, guess what? People begin to believe them. Anyway, they were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year in order to slay the third part of what?
Humanity.
Of humanity. Okay, now, let me get something from you. Just stop where you're thinking right now. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about something. What's the third part of humanity?
First fruit.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but here's another way to look at it. A third part of my humanity. That's part of me has got to go, the natural part. Okay, a third part of my humanity is got to move. It comes out in the Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. There's three-thirds there. You know, it's three experiences we walk in. So a third part of my humanity is taken care of by what I've come to this point. Okay, so then the next woe comes along, takes care of some more. There was three woes, wasn't there? And each one of them is going to take care of a part of my humanity that needs to die to myself.
Because a lot of the certain point where you're at, you ain't going to let go of the other part anymore.
Well, you can't let go of the third one when you're still hanging on to the first one. And it's got to be an order that God has set up for us.
You mean I can't just walk into a meeting today and get all of it?
Probably not. Oh. You can get all what they got, but they ain't very much.
Maybe if they lay hands on you.
Yeah.
So
strangle you.
I wonder, does that have anything to do with, like, the Old Testament was the Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and New Testament was the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies?
Same thing. You're moving through your realms.
Getting rid of that first.
Thinking of that original thinking.
That's
of
just putting all that behind
and
all that.
Moving on. Just move on. Just move
all
on.
Those natural thought processes, and they just kind of, they mean nothing.
Like it says in the book of Revelation, the angel said, come up here. Come on up here. It says hither, but come up here and I'll show you the things that must shortly come to pass. They're going to happen, but if you don't understand them, what good would it do you? You got to understand. That's all there is to it. We have to understand what God's saying to us. We have to ferret some of this stuff out. Some of it may not make sense to you right now. You got to dwell on it a little bit. Think about it. Meditate upon it. And let God fill in the blanks. See? The stuff that I'm saying right now, do you think this all happened today? This is something that for years has been stewing me, because this stuff didn't make sense. There was so much literal stuff. And where my mind was at those times was, this part was physical and this part was spiritual and this was something else over here. It can't be.
It's an illusion.
See, that was my mind still caught up in all that smoke.
Yeah.
It's all that smoke in there. And as God clears my mind, I can see. clearly now that I was in error. You know, it wasn't that I was wrong. I was incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
I was only seeing what God permitted me to see. But that's okay, because we have to go through the process. It's a progressive walk.
Is that a little bit along the lines of I've seen as in a looking glass or a mirror?
Sure, dimly.
And then now
later,
see,
and I'll see clearly.
As I am.
Yeah.
Know?
There you go.
As I am, I see my true identity.
Absolutely.
I see who I am.
That's what this is all about.
Seeing it more and more and more, be like the refiner's pot's getting hotter and hotter and hotter and bowling out, skimming off more and more of those impurities that's in us, that's those ites, and we're becoming.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Feeling the onion.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
And that's 16 now. And the number of the army of the horsemen, and what's the horsemen? That's self. The number. He says 200,000.
Mine
says
200 million.
That's millions, really. It's 200,000 times 1,000 is.
A million.
Yeah. But anyway, that's not a literal number, because we're talking about this whole thing is symbolic.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a whole bunch of it. And he says the number of the army, that's these thought processes coming against us, these locusts coming against us. They're innumerable, really. Does anybody know how many thoughts?
And they're really not there.
No, they're illusions, but they're still real in your mind as they attack you.
Couldn't you look at that? A thousand would be a witness of humanity.
No, it says there was a. Let me say it again. 200,000. So it's a multiplication thought.
Yeah. So 2 million, but that ain't really.
That's not a literal number anyway.
Yeah.
And you know what? Back then, nobody knew what millions was. I mean, just like today, most people now say millions, it's nothing, it's trillions and billions and trillions, and there's other ones beyond that we can't even think about.
We're still going on,
So it's progressive also. Okay. He said, and I heard the number of them. Now, how can you hear a number when you're looking at something?
Yeah.
I thought I heard it.
Well, no, here's what it really is, because the word literally means understood. I understood the number of them. Okay? And I understood the number of them. And in this way, I saw the horses, or the horse, in the vision, and them that sat on them, the horses, right? Having breastplates of fire. Ooh, now we're getting into something good. There's a reasoning for it. What is fire?
Purification.
And of jacinth. Okay, that's see my number. That's actually like a chameleon collar. It changes collar a little bit. And fire does change the collar of things, don't it?
If you see a fire, it's got...
Well, it's got multiple collars, but if you put something in the fire, it always changes the collar to it. And of brimstone. Okay, what is brimstone? Sulfur. And sulfur is a form of purification from the Old Testament.
Why did they make it so complicated? I mean, this one says fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow.
Yeah.
Well, they were adding things that was somebody else that's not in the writings. They're just adding it to.
Illusion anyway.
Yeah. They're doing it, ladies, just like we've been talking about, from the natural side. They're thinking they understand, but it's not the spiritual side. And when you add to it, and this book specifically says if you add to it or take away from it, all the curses of this book will be on you. So people dealing with this book should watch what they're doing, shouldn't they? They shouldn't take liberties.
No wonder they're sucking messed up.
don't go there.
I mean, I'm...
Okay, they had the brimstone and the sulfur. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Okay? What is a lion? Is it positive or negative?
Yes.
Yes. Well, guess what? The head of a lion will also speak of, on a positive side, the mind of Christ. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Right?
So it may look like God, but isn't.
Well, it said these horses, that speaks of humanity, were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So out of their mouth, speaking about purification. Okay. But there's a little bit of confusion in it, because they don't understand it, obviously, as it's going on. And it said, and by these three were the third part of humanity killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Now, do you see that positive or negative?
It's positive, but it's killing the
other. It's killing the bad part of me. Yeah. And look at verse 19. Because their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents and had heads. Their tail had a head. Oh, that's just those weird characters they draw pictures of, you know. And with them they do hurt. Now, who has to die first? Let's get into groups now. Who has to die first?
First fruit.
There you go. First fruits have to die first. Didn't you say that earlier? Okay. First fruits have to die first. That's just all there is
to it. And it don't hurt.
No. When you understand what's going on, everybody's so afraid of death in the physical, but even in the spiritual, they fight it harder. Okay? They give up their right to being a human, which they really aren't. That's just that false identity that they have, that illusion in their own mind. Hey, it's not bad. I haven't given anything up in the world because I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do drugs and I'm not running around with a bunch of wild women and I'm not robbing and stealing. I didn't give anything up. God has blessed me far beyond anything I ever comprehended in my life I'd ever have.
That's all.
I know, but I'm just saying what people think that it's all about. I didn't give anything up.
Yeah, that's what religion focuses on.
That's what I was talking about.
It's that when the Ten Commandments is a promise, you won't want to.
No, I don't have any desire to do those things anymore.
Yeah, that's why that doesn't hurt. You know, it's not appealing.
It doesn't appeal to me in any way.
They fight so hard to have that symbol put in everything, and they break them every day.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's to keep them condemning.
Well, as long as that's the smoke here, you know.
I started to say that's that smoke stuff.
Yeah.
Right,
that's
there.
Smoke right there.
You keep focusing on the smoke. You're like, wait a minute.
See, you'll never get out of the smoke.
I can't figure this out. It just looks like smoke.
You can't see anything.
Yeah.
You can't see with clarity.
Oh, that's just stinging.
And now, in this next part, I wrote above it, the rest of humanity.
Which one are we on?
20.
20. Sorry. Okay.
It's all right. And the rest of humanity, men, were not killed by these plagues. Now we're talking about a group. Not because we started down to a little bit back here. We started about, I told you we were talking about a group now. And the rest of humanity, which were not killed by these plagues, you know, in these calamities instead of plagues, yet repented not, or they did not think differently of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, demonic beings, thoughts in our own head that's more important than anything else. Idols or images of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Okay. Today, people are worshiping and they say, come worship with us. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping their church organization or their church building because it's bigger and better than somebody else's.
So, on that, I'm putting on that a group, not first fruit.
Right, the rest of humanity. Humanity will die to it. The rest of them will fight. They'll be fighting for their rights.
Yeah, they just don't realize it.
And look at 21. Neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, nor their fornications, nor of their things. And the word repented is metanoia. Guess what it means?
Change the way they think.
Change the way you think. Neither did they change the way they thought about their murder, nor their sorceries or witchcraft, nor of their fornication, their unfaithfulness, nor of their thefts. Now, I want to teach you something about the theft. Turn to John chapter 10.
John 10. What verse?
8.
8, okay. Hold on just a minute.
There's several of them here. Actually, I'm going to back up and read 7 just because it... Actually, let's go to 6. It goes back to the understanding again.
Okay.
6 says, "This parable spoke Jesus to them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke to them." Speaking in parables, they didn't have the understanding. They had not hooked up to the mind yet. Do you think Jesus and the Father had a problem communicating?
No.
Okay. Why?
Because they were connected.
The Father and I are one.
Yeah.
Didn't mean they were one big blob, but they had the same thinking process. So whatever he'd say, I'd answer it the same way he'd say it. Correct? That's what he's telling us. Okay? And then he said, "Then Jesus said to them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the entrance." Okay? Mm-hmm. And then verse 8, "All that came before me are thieves and robbers." That mentions something about that, thieves and robbing and all that stuff back here. Okay. They're thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Talking about ministry and natural ministry, natural thinking of men. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be delivered," not saved. He's already saved because that's what he died for, for the foundation of the world. But they will be delivered of that carnal thinking to where you can understand what he's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
See? And he said, "I only speak to my inner group," and when he was walking on the earth. He said, "The rest of them out there, not to hear yet.
Not yet time.
Not yet their time." Okay, he said, "They shall enter in, he shall be delivered, and shall go in and out," there's the liberty of Christ, "and find pasture," or food, right? "The thief comes, but not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they have life," and literally, "they possess life, and that they possess it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming," okay, "the cruel, greedy, carnal beast," that's what that is, okay, that's a system of man, "coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf scatters them," scatters the sheep. "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of my own." Anyway, it all ties together. It's about, all this other stuff has only come for one thing, to fleece the sheep. That's all it's about, fleecing the sheep. Yeah, that's not what it's about. That's what it's about in their order. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about each one of us finding out where we're supposed to be with God. And we're not all necessarily on the same level. It's not meant to be. It's okay. If everybody was identical, wouldn't it be a boring world?
In this house it would.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, you know, people just don't understand. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be who God has created you to be, but you don't have to be a monster in the process, do you?
No.
You just don't have to be mean to people.
Well, if you are, then you're not completely...
You haven't been set free
living
yet.
Life abundantly.
No, but he came to give it to you more abundantly, so why don't we abundantly receive it? Right. It's not really that difficult. It's not that you work to earn anything. You have to let go of something to get something. You're not given to get, like a lot of people do. You know, people go to church, they give tithes because they think they're going to get money back. It's not what it's about. The heart of God is to give. It said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." Right?
Yeah.
Well, the best thing we can do is learn to give freely from our heart. No strings attached. No one telling me I have to. If someone tells me I have to, I'm not going to do it. Are you?
Absolutely no, you ain't going to do it.
Well, that's our nature. Nobody wants to be bullied, do they? And that's somebody bullying you to tell you have to do something. Say, hey, if you don't want to do it, don't do it.
That goes along with the line of take,
yeah,
not receive.
And people who do give tithes and they think they're going to get back usually don't receive anything anyway.
They're right. Given for the wrong reason.
It's just awful.